We turn in our Bibles this evening to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. Isaiah 6. We pick up our reading at verse 9. And in chapter 6, we have the commissioning and ordination of the prophet Isaiah by the Lord himself. We'll read from verse 9 of chapter 6 through to the 16th verse of chapter 7. The text is the 14th verse of chapter 7. Jehovah calls the prophet Isaiah in verse 8. We read the prophet's response, "Then said I, here I am, here am I, send me." And now he said, verse 9, Jehovah says, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." Then said I, "Lord, how long?" And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a teal tree, as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up together towards Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, "Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind." Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, "Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool, in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed, and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it. And let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established." Moreover, the Lord said, spake again unto Ahaz, saying, "Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord." And he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary then? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. So far we read. Verse 14 is the text for the sermon. Now read that verse once again. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Beloved congregation, what a difficult beginning. And indeed a difficult ministry altogether that the prophet was called unto by Jehovah himself. Just as every prophet and preacher is called to bring the good word of God faithfully, so also was Isaiah. But you see, beloved, the purpose, the main overarching purpose of Jehovah for the prophet in bringing Jehovah's good word is not salvation. It's not comfort, but rather judgment. Zion shall be redeemed through judgment. That's the theme of the book of Isaiah. And judgment unto condemnation in the way of hardening. Hardening hard hearts. That this is the main and overarching purpose of Jehovah for the prophet Isaiah is captured well upon his commissioning and ordination by Jehovah himself and his calling to the prophetic ministry in chapter 6. Verse 10 of chapter 6, I remind us, reads as follows. Make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. In other words, I don't want them to be healed, says Jehovah. I don't want them to be converted, says Jehovah. I want them to be hardened. The Lord purposes the hardening of the hearts of the Esau's of the church through the faithful ministry of the prophet, of his good word. Jehovah brings no evil word. He brings the good word through his faithful prophets. And so that's exactly what we find as chapter 7 begins. When the Lord calls the prophet to be accompanied by one of his sons to bring his good word. And to bring his good word to wicked King Ahaz, the Old Testament king of Judah. For indeed the prophet brings the good word of Jehovah, the good news of Christ Jesus. And that in the form of a sign. The sign of the Virgin Mother. The sign of the very Savior from sin. That very Savior himself who is the Christ. It is in fact the greatest of all the signs of Christ's coming, as we'll soon see, first of all in tonight's sermon. A sign, though, that carries with it not one but two sovereign purposes of the Lord. We'll consider both these purposes and contemplate for ourselves as part of epicotry our own attitude in relation to it. Are we thankful for this sign? And in our day, are we thankful for its wonderful fulfillment? a fulfillment that took place 2,000 years ago when the Son of God came into this world and took upon Himself our flesh, our human nature, accepting sin. Consider with me then, thankful for the sign of the Virgin Mother, the greatest of all the signs, the sovereign purposes of God, and its wonderful fulfillment. The sign of the Virgin Mother is the greatest of all of the signs given by the Lord concerning Christ's coming. Now, leading to it, we consider the occasion of its giving. And that occasion was the desperate state of Old Testament Judah, the church at that time. And perhaps the most pointed verses which captures this desperate state of Judah will be found in chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Says Jehovah through his prophet, "Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers, devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers." Verse 8. "And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, and a lodge in the garden of cucumbers, a besieged city." And then verse 9. The reason why it's not completely wiped out. Verse 9. "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant." Catechumens, remember the word remnant? "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been as Gomorrah." And the reason for this desolate state? Jehovah's just judgment for sin. That's how he begins chapter 1, verse 4. "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity." That's who you are, you're sinful people. "Judgment upon sin is therefore declared upon you who are impenitent in your sins." Now, just about the time after Isaiah was ordained by the Lord in chapter 6, and before the record of chapter 7, Ahaz and Judah are experiencing the Lord's severe judgment. That's recorded in, not in the book of Isaiah, but in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 28. I call your attention to the verses 6 through 8. 6, first of all, we read 2 Chronicles 28, verse 6, "For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers." Just think of that, beloved. Losing 120,000 of your soldiers, your best soldiers. These were all valiant men, losing all these 120,000 in one day. This was a rout, a bloodbath, a massacre, a blow of massive proportions upon Judah. Nor is that all. Worse is found recorded in the verses 7 and 8. "And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, the king's son, and Azrikam, the governor of the house, and Elkanah that was next to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria." So on top of it all, what do we have? We have the son of King Ahaz and his very own governor, the future in line to the throne. And the next in line in power killed. And still more, nobody is left untouched. The men were addressed in verse 6. And now the women and the children, 200,000 women and children and spoils of war are taken to Samaria. So now as chapter 7 begins, Ahaz is obviously distressed. He is distressed when Isaiah and his son Sheshab make their way to come to meet him as appointed by the Lord. And what a good word they brought from the Lord from the very beginning in verse 4 of chapter 7. For the Lord there reminds Isaiah to tell Ahaz that both Pekah and Rezin were but two smoking firebrands. In other words, they were just instruments. Instruments in the Lord's hand to bring both chastisement and punishment to Judah. And that they would not succeed in destroying Judah. And then on behalf of Jehovah, Isaiah tells Ahaz to ask for a sign. Verses 10 and 11. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, and ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Ask. But Ahaz, putting on a false show of piety, refused. He said, I will not tempt the Lord. That's not the real reason for refusal. The real reason for his refusal is this, that if he did ask Jehovah for a sign of the Lord, and the Lord gives it, then he would be obligated to repent and to believe and to serve Jehovah, which he would have nothing of in his heart, in his mind, in his soul. But nevertheless, the Lord gives the sign. He gives the sign anyways. And what a great sign that was. The sign of the Virgin Mother. Now, in order to appreciate this particular sign, we do well to understand briefly what signs are in general. What is a sign? A sign is a revelation in the sphere of visible things, things which we see in our eyes, that point to God's invisible work of His salvation and grace. There are two categories of signs. Ordinary objects and wonders or miracles in which God's power breaks forth into this world and gets our attention. Examples of ordinary objects which God uses as a sign to represent some aspect of His invisible grace would be the rainbow, to begin with. Children, do you remember the rainbow? The rainbow that's mentioned in one of your Bible history lessons not too long ago? The rainbow is a sign which shows that God extends His covenant beyond His elect to the creation at large. That's right. In the new heavens and new earth where we'll be at, we won't be all by ourselves. We'll have the new creation all around us. The rainbow speaks to this truth. Then there's the sign of the bread and the wine. We just had Lord's Supper this morning. The bread and the wine are also signs, ordinary objects which God uses to picture the body and blood of Jesus. But God also works with signs of wonders and miracles that arrest the attention of God's people, direct their attention to some aspect then of the work of His salvation. You think, for example, of the sign of the healing of leprosy. That sign speaks of the amazing power of God's grace that cures us sinners from the corrupting, polluting power of sin. Or else think of the sign of the prophet Jonah in the belly of the fish, in the depths of the seas, for 3 days and three nights, that speaks of the depths of the suffering and death of our Savior for us before He was raised. What we have here clearly in the text, in this sign of the Virgin Mother, what we have here belongs to the second category of signs, that of the miraculous and the wondrous things of the Lord. This sign of the Virgin Mother, in fact, is the greatest of all the signs of the Lord. Absolutely so. Why do I say that? Two reasons. First reason, the sign of the Virgin Mother is staggering. It is, in fact, simply an utter impossibility. Let's chew on those two words, beloved, for a moment. Virgin Mother. Virgin Mother. So that being the case, we say, a virgin conceiving? Really? Every one of us here knows that a virgin who tries to become a mother will, in the process of doing so, cease to be a virgin. A mother who gives birth is simply not a virgin. She's not going to be one. This sign then defies this and calls attention to this utter impossibility. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's an utter impossibility. But second, and much more, I direct us to the result of this miracle. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Beloved, this is no ordinary son. The word of God continues, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. That is God with us. That son you will call, he is God. He's God. He's God with us. Wonder of wonder. The Son of God will take on our human nature through the Virgin Mary and shall have that human nature united to His divine person forever and ever. Son of God in our flesh, God
incarnate. God with us. In the most astounding, in the most stupendous, in the most unimaginable way possible. So staggering, beloved, was this sign and its greatness that Joseph and Mary so struggled with it. Joseph struggled with it. How Joseph loved Mary so much, but when he found out that Mary was pregnant, he thought that Mary must have broken the seventh commandment. And so out of his love for her, he sought to put her away discreetly. But you know, beloved, even Mary herself struggled with this sign. And struggled with this sign in spite of the revelation of God's word given directly to her. Luke 1 verse 34 reads, "Then said Mary to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" You can read the mind of the angel, can't you? Didn't I just tell you? How shall this be? And then the staggering result of the virgin birth. Emmanuel, God with us. This indeed is the greatest of all of the signs. And serving His sovereign purposes, not ours, His sovereign purposes. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His purposes are not ours either. And here, the Lord has two purposes. First, in relation to the wicked reprobate, His sovereign purpose is hardening. Hardening unto condemnation, and to the degree determined by Jehovah Himself. Proof for this is plain. The context of the giving of this sign in chapter 6. Being the ordination and commissioning of Isaiah. We read verse 10 in of Isaiah chapter 6, but notice how verse 9 reads, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not." Go tell. Tell what? Tell my good word. The good news. Just bring that word. And these things are going to result because it is my decree and my purpose for these things to take place. In Isaiah's time, this happened, of course, with respect to Ahaz and his rejection of the sign of the Virgin Mother. He had refused to ask for the sign, and when given it, he utterly rejected it. Beloved, isn't the very same thing happening also in our day and age, en masse, all around us? Isn't this sign of the Virgin Mother rejected by all of the world around us? Notwithstanding Christmas carols and Christmas songs blasting on our radios and in department stores at this time of the year. We should know and we should recognize that the Lord is also hardening the hearts of such. Of all such who reject the biblical Christ of Christmas. Who have no room in their hearts for Jesus and for this sign of the Virgin Mother. And we should know also the reasons that lie at bottom for men to reject this greatest of all the signs? What reason? Why do men and women reject the sign of the Virgin Mother? Three this evening. Number one, it acknowledges the existence of this only and great God of our salvation. It acknowledges His greatness and the worship and the service that is due unto Him and Him alone. This great sign does that. Reason number two, it proves their desperate need to be delivered from their sins by this great God and His only way of salvation. And number three, it confirms that they stand powerless. Powerless in spite of their rebellion, powerless in spite of their shaking of their fists against Him. They stand powerless against this great wonder-working God, the one true God of heaven and earth. It's just too much for them. And so they reject this sign. They reject Jesus Christ. They reject the God of Christ, our Savior. But we should know too, in the second place, and in contrast to the reprobate wicked, God's sovereign purpose in relation to us, His elect children, which is this, not a hardening, but a softening of our hearts unto a deeper life and living with God. This sign causes us to be in great awe of our God. Wow! What a sign! In great awe of our God, in great awe of His awesome power, in great awe of His absolute sovereignty. Great awe. Second, it causes us to be greatly comforted. That although circumstances all around us may seem so wrong in the world, in the church, and in our own lives, our able and faithful and wonder-working God is going to bring a complete deliverance for us in the fullness of time. Great awe, great comfort, and lastly, it also causes us to be greatly humble. Greatly humbled by the desperate plight that made this sign and the incarnation of the Son of God absolutely necessary for our salvation. Greatly humbled that the only begotten Son of God Himself, the second person of the Trinity, joined Himself permanently to our flesh. The flesh of one of His creatures. Sin accepted. Oh, beloved, do not these things soften your heart unto a deeper walk and life with Him? Do they not cause our hearts to swell in humble thankfulness to God for this marvelous sign, the sign of the Virgin Mother? That attitude of a humble and sincere thankfulness to God needs to be broadly considered by us this evening, in light of our partaking of Holy Communion this morning. Are we thankful to God for His faithful and gracious work in our lives? Think of the context of your own life. Children, are you listening?
Are you thankful to God for your parents? That man and that woman, and not others around you or others that you know of, but that man and that woman as your father and your mother. Are you thankful to God for that? All of us, are we thankful to God for the path of life we've been led to walk in through the years? Is the attitude of our heart as we think of our lives that of gratitude, not only in joyous times, but also in the sorrowful times? Are we thankful to God when things are seemingly against us? Are we thankful to God when His will and His purposes for us are hard to bear? When it is hard, also hard to pray that third petition in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. When it's hard to pray that because it hurts us and hurts those whom we love. How we need ever and always to grow in thankfulness to God for His guidance and His work in our personal lives. And most broadly, how we need to grow in appreciation for all the wonderful works of God in creation, in providence, and in salvation. And in particular tonight, and during this Christmas season especially, in the wonderful fulfillment of this sign, the greatest of all the signs, the sign of the Virgin Mother. In other words, His holy conception and birth into this world, in our flesh, accepting sin. Emmanuel. Yes, indeed, God is with us. Let thankful awe and therefore joy unto God for the fulfillment of this sign in the Christ child abound in us and in our children. Also in the week ahead, as we slowly but surely draw nearer to the day of Christmas next Sunday. Let it show in our final week of preparations for Christmas, and let it show in how we also go about our ordinary routines and business in life, in our families, at work, in school, and in society at large. Let it show in our family and extended family gatherings, and finally in our godly anticipation of the next Lord's Day, when we anticipate celebrating Christmas itself together as a body of Jesus Christ here in this place, in the Lord's house, the Lord willing. Alleluia. Amen.